All right, thank you all for coming. So Mary Walworth will be presenting for us on negative self-identity and language engagement in French Polynesian. Okay.
Thanks, Tyler. Hi, my name is Mary Walworth, as Tyler said, and I'm in the Department of Linguistic and Cultural Evolution at the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Human History. And today I'm going to be talking to you about a very long-term ongoing investigation of language endangerment in the geopolitical region of French Polynesia, where recent monoculturalization has created negative language identities and attitudes and led to increased and accelerated language endangerment. So the title of my talk, Being Mano Ma'ohi, Negative Self-Identity and Language Endangerment in French Polynesia. And here, when I'm talking about negative self-identity, I'm referring to negative attitudes towards one's heritage language. It's well known, of course, that negative linguistic attitudes are strong indicators of language endangerment. But what is unique in French Polynesia is that these negative linguistic attitudes are a reaction not to dominance of a major language, but to the dominance of one indigenous regional language that has been singled out as a priority language and that itself is endangered. So what I'll first do is give you a bit of background and briefly describe the linguistic situation. And those of you who have seen me talk before, this will be very familiar, and there will be a test afterwards this time. Next, I'll explain what Mano Ma'ohi means and why I've chosen to use this term. And finally, I'll share with you an ongoing language attitude and language use survey that I've been conducting in French Polynesia for about 9 months to a year now, that already, even though it's just beginning, already demonstrates deep negative attitudes that people generally have towards their heritage languages. And then I'll discuss what this negative identity means for language health in the region. So to start, and some of you have seen this map before, many of you, this is French Polynesia. So we're looking at a really, really large area of the Pacific. It makes up pretty much the majority of the space in the center of the Polynesian Triangle. So you've got Hawaii in the north, Rapa Nui, Easter Island for some of you, New Zealand, and then French Polynesia everywhere in the middle. This massive area has about 68 islands, maybe it's 73 islands, and I think 64, 65 are inhabited, and has a high level of linguistic diversity and represents an area at high risk of language loss at the same time. So some background information. French Polynesia is a pays de outre-mer, France, meaning it's an overseas country. A former territory, and essentially that means that it has its own government, they have their own president, and they make their own decisions about local issues. However, they are still under a larger governance of France, so they participate in French politics as well, voting for the French president, and every French Polynesian citizen has a French passport. French is the only official language in French Polynesia. Tahitian is a lingua franca, but it is not an official language. The population is approximately 200,000 people. 80% of those people live in the Society Islands, which I'll show you in just a minute, and that's where Tahiti is. And 20% of that 200,000 live in other island groups, the Marquesas, the Australs, Rapa Iti, Gambier Islands, and the Tuamotus. So here's a lovely linguistic map. I estimate there to be between 15 and 20 indigenous Polynesian languages of this large region of French Polynesia. These languages are all related sister languages of the Eastern Polynesian group of the Polynesian language family. And some of these areas are really, really understudied, especially this huge archipel de Tuamotu. And so there's a lot of, well, there's not a lot of debate, but there's discrepancy as to whether these are languages or whether they're dialects, because we don't have enough information yet. And while this is a really nice linguistic map that presents the general areas of where these potential languages or dialects, these leks, might be spoken, I don't necessarily agree with the bold dialect lines and decisions here, but it does give you a nice sense of the 15 to 20 possible languages that exist. And a lot of my bigger research is answering this question: are these dialects, or are these individual languages, unique languages? All of these languages here that you see here fall on the endangered language spectrum, from endangered of the North Marquesan dialects, to severely endangered with Mangareven down here in the corner, to moribund, Napuka, which is the north there in the Paumotu dialect group, and extinct with Tupuwai, down here, this one that's sort of in the middle with the cross next to it. And all of these languages are becoming increasingly more endangered, particularly the languages that are not spoken in the Île de la Société in Tahiti. There are many factors that have historically contributed to the language endangerment throughout French Polynesia, namely the dominance of both French and Tahitian in all cultural domains. So while Tahitian is itself dominated by French and thus endangered in Tahiti, it is actually the driving force of endangerment throughout the rest of Polynesia. And I have previously defined this situation as trickle-down endangerment, so when a dominant linguistic center absorbs heavy linguistic influence and then disperses it to outer areas, where linguistic dominance then essentially trickles down or disperses out from the center. So how is Tahitian trickle-down manifest in some of the outer islands? Tahitian is used more frequently than local indigenous languages across the board. Nearly 90% of people living in the outer islands report to speak Tahitian fluently, whereas the percentage of people speaking their heritage local indigenous languages is extremely low. Most adults over the age of 25 speak and use Tahitian regularly in the outer islands, speaking just about the outer islands now. And there's a heavy Tahitianization or Tahitian influence in local speech. So even in places like Mangareva, where you and also Rapa Iti, where you have a knowledge of a very distinct local indigenous language, and some elders are still speaking it, you have a lot of mixing and a lot of borrowing from Tahitian, and even taking local indigenous terms and Tahitianizing them to make them sound more Tahitian. This Tahitian trickle-down comes from a Tahitian center, so it's critical in understanding, just briefly, I'll try to do this as quick as possible, the history of Tahiti's economic and political centralization. So first, in the early 1800s, you had European whalers and traders coming to Tahiti and making it essentially the trading center of the broader region. Simultaneously, you had European missionaries, which made Tahiti the center base for religious conversion and for religious training. Later in the 1800s, French colonizers made Tahiti the political and commercial center of the region. And coming into the 1900s, and especially in the mid-1900s, you have an increase in the French military presence due to the nuclear testing in the Tuamotu and the Gambier Islands. Today, you still see a kind of centralization. Today, Tahiti remains the cultural center as well, being home to a very large world Tahitian dance competition, where all of the outer islands bring their dance groups, and all across the world, people bring dance groups. And it's a very, very important event in French Polynesia, and that's in Tahiti. You also have something called the orero, which is very important in French Polynesia. It's a orator competition for younger people, so from mostly elementary school age up until the college, the middle school age. That competition is also held in Tahiti, but it is for all of the students of French Polynesia, so coming from the outer islands, also a very big deal. And you have artisan conventions for all of the outer islands happening in Tahiti. So you might have an Australs basket weaving convention that will be in Tahiti rather than being somewhere in the Australs. So you have a continual centralization now branching more into the cultural. This centralization has led to Tahitian having more of a focus among the indigenous languages of the region, and as a result, it's gained more prestige. It was the first written language of the indigenous languages of the region, and so the first published language, with Davies of the London Missionary Society publishing a book of prayers in 1805 in Tahitian. It's the only available Polynesian language in the media, and that means to say that there's no other regular media in any other indigenous language. And when I say regular media, I mean television programs, broad regional radio programs, newspapers, magazines. You will find that in Tahitian, but you will not find that in any other indigenous language. Locally, you might find a radio station with somebody occasionally speaking a local indigenous language, but for the most part, Tahitian is the only one that's available. And returning to the religious language, with the mission center having been in Tahiti and continuing to be in Tahiti, Tahitian became the primary religious language and the language of the Bible. Some missionaries used Tahitian to translate the Bible for the entire region. They published the Bible first in Tahitian in 1836, and then that was adopted by all of the other Christian religions. And it's important to note that Christianity is very strong and very important in French Polynesia, particularly the Polynesian Protestant Church, which has historically and continues to be the center of social life and also political activism. So you've got Tahitian being the vehicle for that social life and that political activism as well. And still today, 90% of people are religious Christian with either the Polynesian Protestant or Catholicism in French Polynesia. Tahitian is also the first language in the region to have an official academy, meaning that it's the first language to have and only to have a really official grammar and standardized orthography. And that was in 1974. Furthermore, in the last 20 years, local policymakers have made strides to increase indigenous language in education and government sectors. However, due to the region's centralization in the island of Tahiti, these efforts have been primarily focused on Tahitian. So historically, you have French-based education in the sphere of education, everything conducted in French. But in the mid-80s, they started a program where 2 hours and 40 minutes, very specific, per week had to be in indigenous language learning. And that was a great idea, a great start. And while it may have been intended to be for indigenous language learning, for all of the indigenous languages, what happened was it became Tahitian language learning, and actually written in this 1984 Department of Education decision, it says the Tahitian language is to be taught within a normal schedule of elementary and primary schools. And the Tahitian language may be replaced, if you so choose, to replace it with a local indigenous language. But already you have Tahitian in the first place. So inevitably, it's going to become Tahitian language learning, which it has. Additionally, you have all of the upper level schooling beyond middle school happening in Tahiti. So you have an additional prestige happening with that. At the government level, priority has been given to making Tahitian equally represented in the public sphere, without much, if any, acknowledgement of the 15 to 20 other languages of the region. So, for example, regarding official language in the Constitution, in 2004, the Constitution stated, even if the official language of French Polynesia is French, organic law affirms the Tahitian language is a fundamental element of the cultural identity, the cement of social cohesion, a regular means of communication, and it must be recognized and preserved. That's great. That's really excellent. However, French Polynesia is not just Tahiti. French Polynesia concerns all of these other languages. So you have this other and Tahitian, even in the Constitution, as soon as 2004. So this political movement to support Tahitian as the indigenous language of French Polynesia has effectively prioritized Tahitian over all other indigenous languages in the region. And this has placed an importance on one single indigenous regional language, Tahitian, and has developed and created a sort of mono-indigenous Polynesian cultural identity. This monoculture I'm calling mano ma'ohi. So what is ma'ohi? What does mano ma'ohi mean? Ma'ohi is a Tahitian term meaning indigenous Polynesian. And this term has been borrowed into the lexicon of every other Eastern Polynesian language in French Polynesia, despite there being attested reflexes of Proto-Polynesian Ma'oli in nearly all of the non-Tahitian indigenous languages in French Polynesia. So you have a table, if you can see it here. I'm running out of time, so I won't go through it, but we can talk about that after if you'd like. But essentially, there is a term already, but the borrowing of Ma'ohi from Tahitian is happening in every language. I've carefully chosen this Tahitian word to describe the monoculture and mono-identity because Ma'ohi is a term that's used also throughout French Polynesia to describe one's indigenous cultural identity and one's indigenous language, even if it's not Tahitian. It is also the official term used by the Ministry of Education and the government to describe the movement of indigenous language and cultural revitalization. So by using Ma'ohi, this Tahitian term, is in a way a first step to understanding how the push to a mono-indigenous identity is reducing the cultural and linguistic diversity. So how has this affected people's attitudes? With the Ma'ohi movement, Tahitian has obviously become more valued, and the monolinguistic culture has increased negative self-identity among members of non-Tahitian indigenous language speech communities. And based on my interactions with community members and consultants and my observations in many of these speech communities over the last 7-8 years, it's very easy to see how language is shifting towards Tahitian. And how people are using more and more Tahitian. But what's not as easy to observe is how people actually feel about that and how people feel about their own heritage languages. So you'll have, for example, people being really enthusiastic about their local culture and their local language and telling you how enthusiastic they are about local culture and preserving local language, telling you that in Tahitian, and then turning to their family member and speaking in Tahitian or speaking a mix. And this disconnect was kind of bothering me, and I didn't know how to figure out what was really happening. And so what I decided to do was to do a survey, and to do an anonymous survey, which I've started now, and to try to assess this disconnect and to try to get at what people were really thinking, because maybe they're not telling me what they really think because they're sitting in front of me, a linguist who's there documenting their language. So to do this, I created a survey, which is still ongoing. So I'll present the results as they are now, but I really look forward to your feedback about how this can improve. But already, it has uncovered some deep negative linguistic identity, which is obviously affecting language use, transmission, and proficiency. So the survey was in French. It was designed to elicit first reactions, so knee-jerk reactions, from personal point of view. Designed to drive strong feelings and opinions using words like important and best. It was distributed online, mostly by Facebook, but also by email, and using Facebook because everybody has Facebook. Even if they don't have internet and electricity, they have a phone that somehow has Facebook. I'm really, really running out of time, so I'm gonna rush. So here's the survey. Says we can go back through it if there's time after questions, but really simple questions. Basically, it says, please answer as honestly as possible based on your experience and not based on what you think you should say. This survey is anonymous. None of your responses can identify you, and you won't be contacted in any way, nor can you be contacted in any way about your responses. Certain questions are intentionally vague. Don't think too much. So age, where are you from? Where did you grow up? These differences are very important. What island do you identify with the most in terms of your family heritage? What languages do you speak? What is Reo Ma'ohi? What does Ma'ohi mean? What languages are spoken in French Polynesia? Make a list of these languages in order of their importance. What is your primary language? What is your heritage language? On a scale from 1 to 5, what is your ease, your proficiency with your language? Is your primary language important for succeeding in school? Is your primary language important for finding work? Is your primary language important for participating in your community life? Is your primary language important for participating in public life? And then the same questions for your heritage language, so for the school, work, community, and public government life. On a scale from 1 to 4, what value do you give your primary language? So this is one of our vague questions. On a scale from 1 to 4, what value do you give your heritage language? Then scale from 1 to 4, what value do you give in general for your primary language? The first two were for your personal life. So what value do you give for your personal life, and what value do you give in general for both? Then how do you feel about your primary language, positive or negative? Really straightforward. How do you feel about your heritage language? And I didn't think I would get, it's a very straightforward but also very vague question, but it reveals a lot. Pick the language that you think is better, French or Tahitian, French or your heritage language, Tahitian or your heritage language. And that's it. So let's see. So the results, and again, I'll have to rush through these. I've had so far 200 responses, which is not an incredible amount of responses relative to the population, but already gives you enough to work with, and hopefully it'll continue. 40% of participants reported that their heritage language is Tahitian, 60% non-Tahitian heritage language. The age distribution, most people were under 40, but you do have some people in the 41 to 50 range, and about 4% total from 51 to 70. Overall, 56% think that Reo Ma'ohi means Tahitian language, with the majority of people knowing that Ma'ohi actually means indigenous Polynesian. So when it refers to language, they think it means Tahitian. When it refers to anything else, it means indigenous Polynesian. 100% listed Tahitian as the most important indigenous language in French Polynesia. 100% listed French as the primary language. 86% rated French, their primary language, as important for education, compared with 54% who rated their heritage language as important for education. And we can later talk about how that divides up between Tahitian heritage speakers and non-Tahitian heritage speakers. 89% rated French as important for work, compared with 55% for their heritage language. 86% rated French as important for active participation in local communities, compared with 83%. Which is pretty good, very, very close. But what's interesting here is that 80% of that 83% listed Tahitian as their heritage language. So essentially 16% of non-Tahitian heritage language people think that it's important for local community. And finally, 97% rated French as important for active participation in the public sphere, compared to 79% for their heritage language, which again is... also very close, but again, 80% of that were Tahitian heritage language people, and so 15% of non-Tahitian heritage language think that it was important. In terms of language proficiency, 55% of Tahitian heritage language reporters reported a 4 or 5 on the proficiency scale, compared with 10% of non-Tahitian heritage language people reporting a 4 or 5. Attitude, 100% of Tahitian heritage language reported a positive attitude, compared with 25% of non-Tahitian heritage language reporting to feel negatively. So 75% of non-Tahitian heritage language reported feeling negatively about their heritage language. 75% of non-Tahitian reporters said that Tahitian is better than their indigenous language. That's a huge number. That it's better. And 60% of non-Tahitian heritage speakers reported that Tahitian is better than French. So you've got non-Tahitian heritage language people thinking Tahitian is just the best language in French Polynesia. And I thought that was surprising that it was better than French. Some of the commentary essentially is just talking about Reo Ma'ohi being Tahitian, and that Tahitian is the main Polynesian language, and that it's a dialect, that all other languages are dialects, that my heritage language has no value, French is more important than Tahitian, but Tahitian is better than the other dialects. None of the other languages of the other archipelagos are necessary for communication in French Polynesia. So basically, Ma'ohi, to sum up, Ma'ohi is synonymous with Tahitian, even if its meaning is known to be more broadly indigenous Polynesian. Tahitian is a more valued language than any other indigenous language in French Polynesia, and people who listed a non-Tahitian heritage language tend to value Tahitian more than other languages in French Polynesia, including French. People who listed a non-Tahitian heritage language tend to have negative feelings about their heritage language, whereas 100% of Tahitian heritage language reporters have positive feelings. The priority of Tahitian as an indigenous language has caused non-Tahitian speakers to view Tahitian as having a higher overall value. And because Tahitian is also an indigenous language of the region, it holds a high cultural value that makes non-Tahitian speakers feel that their own indigenous languages are inadequate or unnecessary in the face of the stronger Tahitian. And I don't know why there are quote marks on all of those, because that's my analysis and that is not someone else's. So I apologize for those quotation marks. Not sure what happened there. So to conclude, while it does not come as a surprise that negative linguistic attitudes accelerate language endangerment, it may be surprising that one endangered language is causing another to become more endangered. We tend to think about language prestige as occurring from a dominant language, not another endangered language. So the negative attitudes towards some but not all endangered indigenous languages in French Polynesia demonstrates that language endangerment is not only about explicit dominance from a major language, but it can be much more implicit. And it obviously can go beyond what people are just saying face value. So this study is just a very small scratch on the surface, and as I said, it's going on, so I really appreciate your feedback on questions and how I can improve this and reach out to more people. Thank you.
Curious about your question and the questionnaire about which language is important for education. Did you distinguish between higher education and elementary education?
Just general education. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
I wonder if it would be a difference in the response.
To be more thorough, I should ask that. I suspect that there's not a difference in the response.
As far as being unique, I mean, this is unique only in the sense that you've got three levels of power with French at the top, Tahitian in the middle, and the local languages at the bottom.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just the big fish eat the big fish eat the little fish.
Absolutely.
That you see everywhere.
Yeah. I think the unique part is that Tahitian is also endangered in in this.
Because you've got those three levels of power.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
How did you choose your sample?
How did I choose my
sample?
My sample? It was broad sample, so I put it out on Facebook and through my students at the university, and then they shared it. So it's completely anonymous, completely anybody who wants to respond can respond.
How were the responses though? Like, where people were from, where they grew up? What percent was in Tahiti? What percent was in Aotearoa?
Yep. So what I based the results for this presentation on were what they declared to be their heritage language. So that was the 40% declared Tahitian to be their heritage language. So presumably from the Society Islands at some point. So people have and 60% from the outer islands, or reporting a heritage language from the outer islands. That's why it's important to have these, where are you from, where did you grow up, and where do you align your heritage, where is your heritage island, because you'll have people who grew up in Tahiti, were born in Tahiti, but their family is from Rapa'iti, and so they will align themselves with Rapa'iti, even though they might declare that they're, you know, growing up and from Tahiti.
And also of the non-Tahitian heritage, how much of them
No, everybody. I mean, everybody speaks Tahitian. If they had French, and I don't have the breakout, but I can get that to you. Everyone across the board spoke French. Everyone from the outer islands also spoke Tahitian, and not everybody from reporting Tahitian as a heritage language said they spoke Tahitian when asking what languages you speak, but everybody from the outer islands said they spoke Tahitian. Yeah.
It's a little unclear to me if heritage is the right term that captures what you're trying to get at.
Yeah.
It seems like it's more to do with political identity or something of that sort. So I'm wondering if you asked somebody from the Marquesan Islands,
yeah,
who are you? Would they say, I'm a Marquesan?
Yes.
Or would they say, I'm a Tahitian?
They would say, I'm Marquesan.
So they identify clearly with the island that they're from.
Yep.
And you're getting a disconnect between that and their language references.
Yep.
One more quick question.
I was wondering about in the forced choice, which language is more important?
Yeah.
Why did you decide not to have neither option?
Because again, I wanted to get like these very knee-jerk, opinionated responses. So one of They could be. One thing I want to do as a next step is to ask, what does important mean to you? So ask the same questions, but then ask them, what does important mean? What is the value of important for you? And I think that might suss it out. I'm not sure that I want to put neither, because I the goal is to have them choose. I want them to tap into a place where they are choosing. But maybe neither would be... You look skeptical.
Can I make a final comment?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you have strong opinions already, then... Oh, sorry.
No. So kind of, I did the similar thing. So like a comment might be useful is to follow up like face-to-face interview and see if it matches with the survey results, because I'm not sure the culture, if they... feel comfortable doing surveys, or are they acting, or they're just answering honestly? So maybe doing a follow up, face-to-face interview will help.
Yep, definitely. And actually, what this is kind of the backwards, back direction of what you've done, because I've spent so much time with a lot of these communities and with people doing the face-to-face attitudes and use. So. That could be that's kind of maybe a negative point on doing then a general survey, because I already know what people might, I have an inkling. I mean, I don't know, but I have an inkling. And so maybe that's knowing that they will choose is why I wouldn't put in either, but you're right that maybe I should. But the to go back and do another survey post the anonymous survey would be interesting too. Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming.